Leading it for me. It's good to see everyone here, especially on a cool morning like this morning. You could just as easily hit the snooze, so I do appreciate your presence being here. Going to talk for just a few minutes about how God comforts his people. Of course, this could be made into a full sermon, but I just have a few points to go over with you if you'd like to. God never promised our lives on earth to be easy, all rainbows and sunshine, either before or after spiritual obedience to him. In fact, trials are actually promised to us as Christians. James 1:2 says, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Notice it says when, not if. But yes, by our choice to follow Jesus, we avoid many trials and stresses that come from partaking in sin as the rest of the world. There's probably hopefully no one here that spent the night in the county drunk tank, or was arrested for tax evasion or financial malfeasance. But being a Christian will not spare us all the troubles of life. We still must depart and grieve for lost loved ones, possibly endure a failed marriage. Our bodies will fail if we live long enough, and maybe deal with financial troubles brought on by no fault of our own. If we look at 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, it said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." So we see that we have availability of comfort. One of the phrases that comes to mind is, "The Lord is near," found in Psalms 34. It said, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry for help. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and rescues them from their troubles." Continuing in verse 18, it says, "The Lord is near the brokenhearted. He saves those crushed in spirit." Hebrews 13, starting in verse 5, reminds us that we will never go through life's troubles alone. He is there. We are never alone. So one may ask, how can I know that he's here, that he actually draws nearer when we are enduring troubles? Because the Bible, the book that we have pinned all our hopes and faith of our salvation on, says that very thing. And even in that, we can take comfort from. "The Lord is my helper." Actual language from Hebrews 13:6 is pretty plain. Look back again quickly at Psalms 34:17 and 18, where it says, "The Lord hears and will rescue," or deliver, "us from all our troubles." So the Lord has promised to deliver and will deliver. How does that work? You may be dissatisfied with my answer, which is, we don't know exactly how it works. We do know there won't be an overt, miraculous reattachment of a severed limb from a car wreck back to its normal function. But does God actually guide the hands of a surgeon upon our prayer request? Maybe. Maybe it does. We just don't know the exact details of how God works behind the curtain to comfort and aid us providentially. Look at 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 10, where Paul states about all the trials he went through as being a Christian, all the persecutions and trials. And at the end, he states that the Lord had rescued him from them all. Well, just how was this done in Paul's case? Well, one example of how Paul was rescued can be seen in Acts 14:5, where we can at least see some evidences with Paul in Iconium, where Paul became known of a plot to murder him, and possibly has some of his entourage with him. But yet he found out about this plot and was able to escape and flee and save his life. So how did he find out about that? It was probably God's providence, and somehow Paul became aware of that. Let's look at Ephesians 3:20, where it says, "Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask, according to the power that works in us." So we see in this passage that God is able to help us. He's not just some well-meaning friend at work that pats you on the back and says, "How you doing? What's going on? Are you okay?" And that's as far as it would probably go. But have you ever said and meant, if there's anything I can do to help you, let me know? That's your fellow Christian talking. But God is the one with the power to get things done, and we can take great comfort in that. He's different from the well-wishers at work that, you know, really kind of halfway don't mean what they say. He's the powerful all-creator of the universe. There's nothing he can't do, and that includes helping us. When we think we are out of options and start thinking like in merely human terms and abilities, scriptures are a good way to go and remember that God is able and willing to rescue and restore us if we will just let him. Look at Psalms 118, starting in verse 5, where it says, I called to the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and put me in a spacious place. My footnote says this is the same as freedom. You've heard of the phrase, I feel like the walls are closing in on me. Well, here it says God will put you in a spacious place. He will push those walls back out and give you comfort. Continuing in verse 6, it says, the Lord is for me. I will not be afraid. What can a mere mortal do to me? The Lord is my helper. Therefore, I will look in triumph on those who hate me. And lastly, in verse 8, is it better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humanity? Now, make no mistake. Sometimes our will, our prayer request will not align with what God has in mind for us. So just because we ask for something, we may not receive it, but God hears us and knows what we need. 2 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 4, in closing, let's look at this. He comforts us with all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort that we ourselves receive from God. Now, this is a powerful verse, and it contains some instructions for us. Notice that we need to comfort each other. God can comfort us, that's true, but sometimes he works through us to comfort our fellow Christians. Have you ever experienced any of these occurrences in your life? The entourage of friends that meets you at the hospital to give you comfort and support for a family member or even you in an illness? How about the expressions of warmth and condolences when a loved one passes? The outpouring of love and support when maybe you come forward to get your life back on track. I can tell you I've been a recipient of all three of these. This is a part of the Lord taking care of us through his people, through the Christians that meet here. As an aside, try not to practice isolationism. If you just keep to yourself and no one knows of the help or troubles you're going through, you're not going to be able to get any. And by the same token, you need to know what other people need. So try not to just be an island unto yourself. Lastly, look quickly at 1 Thessalonians 4:18, where it says, it's at the end of a passage of a comfort from Paul, where it says, comfort one another with these words. So we can look to God for comfort and look to the Bible for comfort in times of trial. And that comfort often comes from him through his people and his word from this spiritual family where we worship. Are you willing to do what you can to be an instrument of his love and care? So we receive comfort from each other, and we should be willing to give comfort to each other too. Especially from the words of the scripture, or as we were reminded in Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp and a light unto my path. And thank you for your attention this morning.